Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies, grace, and love toward us. Thank you for your power that is working in us and through us. Thank you for moving us forward on every side. Thank you for subduing all the works of darkness under our feet. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your presence that is with us always. Thank you for everything you have taught us by your Holy Spirit that is in us. Thank you for showing us new things, new revelations about you yourself, revelations of your word, of your scripture, and revelations of your will. Thank you for showing us these things by your Holy Spirit. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for helping us to be obedient to your truth and your ways. Thank you for creating in us obedient heart. Thank you for giving us a heart that loves correction. Thank you for giving us a heart that loves you and wants to please you. Thank you, Father. We thank you for all that you have taught us through this platform of Bible study classes. Thank you for making us to obey and to practice all these teachings we have learned from this platform. Thank you, Lord. We are here once again in your presence to learn more so that we can grow more, so that we can know you more. I ask that you speak to every one of us expressly through your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you're going to do more than we have asked. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. And we're going to continue. Don't forget, we have been looking at backsliding. And we have considered several points under that topic. Today we're going to be looking at another point or point. Yeah. Depending on how fast we move. The next point is murmuring and ingratitude. Murmuring and ingratitude. This is also a danger sign that shows that someone is losing faith, that someone is falling away from the faith or falling away from God. murmuring and ingratitude. Murmuring and ingratitude. I believe all of you know what murmuring is. Maybe we should take a dictionary for that. What does it mean to murmur? What does it mean to murmur? Murmuring. I'm trying to show you from a dictionary what it means, what murmuring means. This dictionary says to express one's discontent about something or someone in a subdued manner. To express one's discontent about someone or something in a subdued manner. And then they said another word that is similar to murmuring is complain. 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 So, murmuring is expressing expressing how you feel about something or someone, especially when that feeling is showing this discontentment. A discontentment, that is you are not happy about what is going on, or you don't like what is happening. You don't agree with it. And then that definition says you're expressing this discontentment about something or someone in a subdued manner. So now, murmuring is usually, how do I put it now? Murmuring is usually connected to leadership, or let me say responding to leadership. That was why the definition says it is subdued manner. So murmuring is usually connected to the response of followers to their leaders. It is usually connected to responding to leadership, meaning that you feel like you are being subdued or oppressed by a leader, and then you are now murmuring, you are grumbling, you are showing dissatisfaction. You're showing discontentment in your facial expression and in your words. So you're feeling like, you know, you're expressing feelings of you are being treated unfairly. The satisfaction. Thank you, bro Charles. Yeah, so you're expressing how a system is treating you unfairly. How a leadership system is treating you unfairly. Like, they are treating you bad, and you don't like it. So now that is murmuring. You feel like the leadership is oppressing you, or abusing you, or leading you in the wrong way. That is how murmuring comes into play. Now, in the context of our teaching, we are looking at murmuring against God. So we are looking at murmuring against God, murmuring against the leadership of God, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So if you start to murmur against God, against the system of God or the system of God's kingdom, or against the personality of God, then you are committing sin. And it's a sign that you're backsliding. So we are not to murmur against God, irrespective of whatever you may be going through. You must not murmur against God or against His leadership or against His servant. So you must not murmur against God and against the leadership God has set in His church. You must not also murmur against the leadership of the Holy Spirit, which is equal with God, because the Spirit of God is the same as God, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit is inside of you. So you must not murmur against the leadership of the Holy Spirit that is in you. You must not complain. Once you start to do that, you are backsliding. And then we're also looking at the word ingratitude, which many of you should know what that means. Ingratitude is not being grateful. Yeah, not being grateful. And in this context, we are considering not being grateful to God. Yeah, so when you are ungrateful, it shows that you're already backsliding. When you're ungrateful to God, it is a sign of backsliding. I pray that you will not murmur against God, and you will not be ungrateful. In Jesus' name. So we're going to look at scripture to discuss this topic further. Let us open our Bibles to Numbers 14, verse 27 to 30. Numbers. Numbers 14, 27 to 30. 27 to 30. How long shall I deal with this evil congregation? Now, this is God speaking to Moses. And the evil congregation God was referring to are the, you know, they were the children of Israel. How long shall I deal with this evil generation, evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Verse 30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Praise the Lord. God was very angry with the Israelites in this place. Yeah, because they murmured against him. And God said, I will do to you as you have said to my ears. Yeah, so what were the things they said? Because of time, I will not go to that place. Yeah. But they were saying things like, God, God have brought them into the wilderness to destroy them. Yeah, to destroy them in the wilderness. In fact, they also mentioned things like they would not have a proper burial. They already concluded that they were going to die in the wilderness. Yeah, because God is not good enough to them. Yeah, because they wanted some things, and God did not approve. Yeah, God wanted them to continue in the journey, and he wanted them to trust him, and he wanted them to fight his enemies that were occupying the promised land. Yeah, because there were people occupying the promised land. And yet God told them that I will give you the land. He said, I have given you. I have given you the land where these people are staying. So now you have to fight them and destroy them and then possess the land. Yeah. But they were scared. They were afraid. They don't want to fight. Yeah, they loved their lives so much. Yeah, and that was not when they started to murmur. They have been murmuring for quite for a long time during the wilderness journey. They had been murmuring for a long time. Yeah, maybe there was, you know, whenever they are lacking something, they start to murmur. Whenever they are lacking food, water, yeah, even meat, they'll start to murmur against God. Yeah, they'll start to say things like, when we're in Egypt, we always enjoy things. When we were in Egypt, we always enjoyed the cucumbers, the lettuce. Then they start to mention all the vegetables. They always heat on the vegetables they were heating in Egypt before they started the journey through the wilderness to the promised land. Yeah, so they will keep repeating those words to God. Yeah, they will keep saying, we were better off in Egypt. Why did God took us out of Egypt? Why can't God just leave us there? Yeah, why can't God leave us in Egypt to continue to suffer, to continue in our slavery? Yeah, they were saying things like, yeah, though Pharaoh was maltreating us, but we had food to eat, we had water to drink. Though Pharaoh was oppressing us, but we were doing better than here in the wilderness. Yeah, so they were saying all those things, and God was hearing everything they were saying. Yeah. To the point where they now said, now God is going to kill all of them. Yeah, because they saw giants. Yeah, they saw giants occupying some of the countries or nations that God said they must fight, they must fight for or fight to claim the land, the land of those nations. Yeah, so they saw giants there and they felt like, God hates them so much. Why would God tell them to fight a battle that they cannot win? Yeah, because the spies that went to check those lands, those spies, they said, there's no way we can fight and conquer these people. We are like grasshoppers before them because they were giants. So that brought great fear upon them. And they so much condemned themselves to the point that they concluded in their hearts that now we have come to our graves, because all of us are going to be destroyed here in this wilderness. in fact, they were going through, they were discussing among themselves that let us choose another leader that will lead us back to Egypt. Yeah, and God was there listening. So God became very angry. So it was this murmuring that they did here. It was the murmuring that they did here in this passage, or maybe before that chapter, that made God to conclude in his mind that they would never, none of them from 20 years upward, that none of them will enter into the promised land. Yeah, and it was so. None of them entered except Joshua and Caleb. Yeah. So you can see they took the murmuring to the highest level, and God couldn't take it anymore from them. Yeah, God couldn't take it anymore from them. So he placed his curse upon them. Or you can say he placed his judgment upon them. Yeah, so from that time they began to roam around through the wilderness till all of them died. Yeah, a lot of them died in the wilderness. It was the younger generation, those ones below 20 years, that did not murmur, or that God decided to spare, that eventually entered into the promised land. Yeah, so in no way should you murmur against God. Yeah, it is very wrong. It is very wrong. Yeah. Don't murmur against God, because it provoked him to anger. I remembered some years ago, I was expecting something. Yeah. I was expecting a certain amount of money to come from overseas. Yeah. From USA precisely. From the United States. So there was some amount of money that I was expecting to come into my account. And somehow, there was a blockage. I don't know. I mean, something happened. I don't even know how that thing happened. Yeah, because the person who was going to send the money, send it for a tank to, the person was staying in Louisiana, and then he was going to send it as a check to someone that I know, someone like the Nigerian that is staying in New Jersey. So the plan was that once that person in New Jersey gets the check, so she will cash out the check and then send to my own account here in Nigeria. So now, the person sent the check to New Jersey, and somehow we don't know what happened. The check did not reach New Jersey, or maybe the check got lost in transit. I don't know what happened. Yeah, and it thing took months. Yeah, so at the point, I became I don't even know the adjective to use. I was unhappy. I was frustrated. Yeah. And I began to complain to God. Now, this was in prayer. I was praying to God. Yeah. And I was murmuring in the place of prayer. And I thought what I was doing was good. I thought it's a normal thing to do that. I didn't know it was very wrong. Yeah, to complain. I was saying things like, God, why will you allow this thing to, why will you allow this thing to freeze? Because you were the one that gave me this blessing. Why will you do this? Why will you allow the check to get lost? Yeah, and I went further to say that this is me and God talking. And then I was saying, you know all things, and you know this was going to happen. Why didn't you stop this from happening? And then I went further to say, if you knew the check would get lost, you shouldn't have even provided the blessing for me in the first place. So I began to say nonsense. Yeah, and rubbish in the place of prayer. And I didn't know that God was angry. I thought that was okay. Yeah, but I thank God that He loved me so much. Yeah, I thank God because He loved me so much. So, after I was done with the murmuring, He now started to correct me. Yeah, He started to rebook me. Yeah. He started to tell me things like, who am I to challenge Him? Or who am I to murmur against Him? Yeah. He said, He is God. I am a creature. Yeah. He said something that I can't forget up to now. And one of the things he said was that he said He is God. And He can do whatever He wants with His creatures. Yeah. He said He can decide to create someone and then continue to feed that person to a certain age and then decide to starve the person to death. Yeah, I don't know if you get my point. He said He can decide to create someone, take care of the person for a while, and then decided to withdraw every support from that person till the person starve to death. That He is God, He can do anything with His creatures. Yeah, that's who am I to complain. Yeah. So when He corrected me, I started to repent immediately. And I started to beg for mercy. Yeah, in fact, from that point I said, I don't care about the money anymore. Yeah. At that point I said, I don't care whatever happens to the money. Yeah. Yeah. Because I didn't know it was wrong to actually say those words to God. Though I've read the Bible, but you know, sometimes we read the Bible, but we don't really practice it. Yeah, because what I was doing was not different from what the Israelites did. Yeah, in the wilderness. Yeah, but I never saw it that way until he corrected me. Yeah. So at that point, I said, I don't even care about the money. Whatever happened to the money, let it happen. Yeah, I said, I value my relationship with God. I mean, I was telling him after I had repented and asked for forgiveness, I said, I value you more than anything. Yeah, I was talking to God. Yeah, and I was saying, I don't care about any money. And I don't care if the money comes through or not. I just want to preserve my relationship with you. So I started to beg him to forgive me, which he did. Now, since that time, I have never made that mistake again. Yeah, so don't in any way or for any reason murmur against God. Even if he promised you something, and then it's appearing as though what he promised is not happening. Yeah, maybe God promised you something, or he told you that he's going to do something for you, and then all these situations and circumstances around you is showing the opposite. That is, you're not seeing what God said he would do happening. Even in that kind of situation, don't ever, I repeat, don't ever murmur against him. Don't try. Yeah, don't complain. And then don't complain or murmur against his servant. Yeah. Because these Israelites, they did not only murmured against God, they also murmured against Moses. Now, since it was God who gave them Moses to lead them, so murmuring against Moses is also equal to murmuring against God. So don't murmur against God's servant. Yeah, especially the ones God have positioned as your leader. Don't in any way murmur against him. The best thing you can do, if you don't like that leader anymore, leave his church or leave his ministry. Yeah, disconnect from him. Yeah, there's no sin in that. Yeah, or you'll be saved that way. Yeah, but if God called a man and anointed him, empowered him, and set him in the position to lead you, don't murmur against him. Yeah. Yeah, even if he's telling you to do something that is contrary to the will of God, what you have to do is to quietly leave his ministry. Yeah, quietly disconnect from his church, disconnect from his ministry, because you have to obey God than a man of God. You must obey God when it means disobeying a man of God or woman of God. Yeah, but while you are doing that, do it with, don't disconnect from that person with a fight or provocation. Yeah, because even though the man of God is now a sinner, that doesn't mean that God may still not be using him. So the fact that the call of God is still upon him, and God have not completely departed from him. Yeah, he still deserves to be respected. Yeah, I believe you understand. Even though he's now living in error or committing error, yeah, that doesn't give you the right to dishonor him or disrespect him. The best you should do is to disconnect from his ministry. And do it quietly without offending him in any way. I hope you understand my point. Yeah, like the example between King Saul and David. Yeah, even though God had departed from Saul, David continued to respect and honor him. David had chances to kill him, because even Saul was seeking after his life, but David did not do that, because he respected the fact that this man once had the anointing of God on his life. And even though God had departed from him, he still respected that he was anointed at one point by God. So don't murmur against God's chosen leaders. The best you can do is either you pray for them that they change, or you stop following them. Yeah. There's no sense in you disconnecting from a church or ministry because you're no longer comfortable with it. Yeah, but it is better you disconnect when they are trying to make you sin against God. Yeah, than when they are trying to correct you and then you don't want to be corrected. Maybe a leader is trying to correct you. A spiritual leader is trying to correct you, and then because you don't want to be corrected, you left. Well, that one, you are at fault. Yeah, but let's say a leader is trying to make you sin against God, and then you left. Yeah. That one is right. That is the righteous thing to do, because you have to please God. Yeah, you cannot exalt anybody above God. You can't do that. That is idolatry. Yeah, so let us not make that mistake. Or maybe you have made the mistake of murmuring against God. You can repent, and God will forgive you. Yeah, because many Christians, they do that a lot. That was why, at the time when I did this thing, I thought it was the right thing to do. Yeah, because I've seen many Christians doing the same. Yeah, they feel like, they start to question God. They feel like God is unfaithful, or God doesn't care about them, or God is deceiving them. God said he would do this, he didn't do it. And then they started to murmur against God. Yeah. Don't do it. I mean, don't make that mistake. Yeah, even if God let's say, for instance, God decided to hand you over to poverty and lack. Yeah, God decided to make you suffer, which I don't think God would do that. I mean, I don't think God would do that in a way of destroying his own children. Sometimes God allows to go through some situations so that he can train him using those situations. So that he can teach us some things, that we can only learn those things in a difficult and hard situation, in a painful situation. Yeah, sometimes God allows us to go through challenging situations, because that is the only way we can learn what he wants to teach us. Yeah, but even while we are going through those situations, he still help us. Yeah, so which means God will not in any way destroy us. He's not a destroyer. He's a savior. Yeah. God will not in any way hurt us. He loves us so much. Yeah. In fact, God is a destroyer only to his enemies. Yeah, God is not a destroyer to those who he loves. Yeah, in fact, God destroys so as to save his own children, and so as to protect his own children. That's why he destroys. So his nature is love. Yeah, so, but I was saying, let's say for instance, God decided to subject you to serious hunger, serious poverty, serious lack and suffering and hardship. You still must not murmur against him. You should give thanks. You should give thanks in every situation you find yourself. You should be grateful. Yeah, you should be grateful. I pray that you will be wise in Jesus' name. Yeah, the reason why you should be grateful is because he is God. And there will not be you if he did not create you. Yeah, and if you are still alive up to now, he has taken care of you till now. He has cared for you till now, if you are still alive till now. Yeah, so you should be grateful. Forget about, I'm waiting for God to do this for me. I'm expecting this blessing. I'm expecting this favor. I'm expecting this promotion. And God have not yet done it. Forget about all of that. Be grateful to him. It is when you are still alive that you can enjoy blessings and favor and promotion. Those who are in the grave, can they enjoy anything like that? Yeah, so you should always be grateful. Don't be deceived by your expectations, or your prayer requests, especially the ones that have not yet been answered by God. Don't be deceived by those things. Whether God answer your prayer or not, He remains God. I don't know if I get my point. Whether God answer your prayer or not, He remains God. So the fact that He answers prayers, or how should I say it now? Let me say it this way. If you pray and God answers that prayer, it is not because God is trying to prove to you that He is God. That is why He answered the prayer. It is because of His love nature, His nature of love and mercy. That is why He answered the prayer. Not because He's trying to prove to you that He is God. So He is God, whether He answers your prayer or not. I don't know if you get my point. Whether He answers your prayers or not, He remains God. He remains God. Because I've noticed that some Christians, may God deliver us. Some Christians, they think God is trying to prove to them that He is God by answering their prayers. So when God is, when God delayed in answering some of their prayers or decided to not answer some of their prayers, then they start to doubt whether he is still God or not. Don't be like such Christians. So whether God heals you or not, He remains God. Whether He delivers you or not, whether He saves you or not, save you from a problem or from a demonic attack, whether God does that or not, He remains God forever and ever. So the fact that He decided to not heal some people or to delay the healing process of some people doesn't change the fact that He's a healer. So let these things stir in your mind, in your head, so that Satan will not deceive you and throw you out of the sea. May the Lord help you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're going to look at another scripture. Let us look at Numbers 11, verse 1. Numbers 11, verse 1. Numbers 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. You can see the Israelites, they saw the anger of God face to face, physically. Because they also saw the glory of God physically. God made Himself visible among them. Because they will see when God comes down in form of a cloud. upon the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. Yeah. They saw God's glory physically. And in the same way, they also saw God's anger physically. I pray that you will not see God's anger. Or I pray you will not fall. You will not fall into God's anger, and that God's anger will not fall upon you. In Jesus' name. Yeah. So they so much despised God. They so much despised God. Imagine you know that God is present, and then you were still talking rubbish. Yeah, the things that he hates. Yeah. You know, because God had warned them severally, corrected them severally. Stop murmuring against me. Trust me. Believe in me. Yeah, but they wouldn't listen. Yeah. So in this passage, they complained against God. And God was there. He heard it. It displeased him. And his anger rose up. And they were consumed. I pray for you again that you will not do things that will make the anger of God consume you. Yeah, don't think, oh, this is Old Testament. I don't think God still kill people. Now, don't forget that these were God's people in quotes in this passage. These were not God's enemies. These were Israelites. Yeah, so God can destroy even his own people in as much as they have refused to listen to correction. Yeah, so the nature of God does not change. Yeah, the nature of God remains the same. Forget about Old Testament or New Testament. The nature of God remains the same. It's just the dealings of God that is different. Because the way God dealt with mankind in the Old Testament is different from the way he's dealing with us now. But his nature remains the same. And his rules remains the same. His laws remains the same. Yeah. Even Jesus said he has not come to destroy the law. So which means the law cannot be destroyed. The law cannot be broken. Yeah. I believe you understand. Yeah, God's laws cannot be broken. Yeah, God's rules, God's standards remain the same forever. So Jesus said he came to fulfilling. Yeah. More like he came to help us fulfill the law. Yeah, because the law remains the same. Yeah, so don't despise God. Don't, you know, do you know what it means to despise God? You know, it's to think, what will he do? What will God do? Yeah, I can't talk anyhow. Yeah, I can talk anyhow. I can think anyhow. I can do anything anyhow. After all, he's not going to come down from heaven and kill me. Well, he's going to come down and kill you. That's the truth. yeah, it's going to kill you. God kills. So don't despise God. Fear God. Fear God. Fear God. Yeah, don't despise Him. Yeah, don't feel like, you know, some people, they say, let me just do this thing. And then, okay, I will repent. I don't know that, you know, I don't understand that kind of repentance. Yeah, because that is not repentance. And they'll say, let me commit this sin. And then later I'm going to repent and ask for forgiveness. That is not repentance. Yeah, in fact, there is no repentance in that kind of, in the hearts of such Christians that does that. Yeah, and most, you know, and most Christians in that category, they don't repent. Yeah, they continue to commit the sin. Yeah, because they despised the grace of God. Yeah, they knew that they had the power to refuse that thing or to refuse the temptation. And yet, they knew what they were about to do is a sin. And they knew that they could just stop themselves from committing the sin. But yet, they refused. They said, it's just a little enjoyment. Let me just enjoy myself. And it will just be this one. So once I do it this one, I won't do it again. But some of them, if not most of them, they continue to do it. Yeah, because when you despise God, it attracts a curse from God. Yeah, it attracts God's anger. And sometimes what the anger of God or what the judgment of God does is that God will make you to become addicted to the sin. Since you have chosen to commit the sin, then God will help you to continue to enjoy the sin. So God will withdraw His grace. Since you have despised that grace, He will withdraw His grace from you and will allow you to become addicted to the sin till the sin destroys you. Yeah. So to intentionally sin against God is a way of despising God, because you knew that what you were about to do is a sin. And then you felt like, God is not going to kill me. Let me just do it for this, you know, for this moment. Let me just enjoy myself. Yeah. And God was hearing it as you were thinking it in your heart. He was hearing. Yeah. And then God would say, all right, go ahead. Yeah. And He will just withdraw His grace from you. And then you realize that you continue to do more and more and more and more of the sin. Yeah, because you have despised God. So don't despise God. I pray that God will help you. Amen. Let us also look at the same Numbers. Numbers 21, verse 5 to 6. Numbers 21, 5 to 6. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul looketh this light bread. Wow. May God have mercy on our generation. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they beat the people, and much people of Israel died. You can see what they were saying. They were saying that, in fact, the part that really touched my heart was that part. Let me read that part for you again in verse 5. Numbers 21, verse 5. The latter part of that verse 5, it says, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul looketh this light bread. Now, they said there is no bread, and now they are saying this light bread. I don't know if you are seeing what I'm saying here. They said there is no bread. There is no water. And then they went further to say, our soul ate this light bread. What were they referring to? They were referring to the manna that fell from the sky. The manna that God was sending from heaven to feed them. They were saying, we are tired of this light bread. We want something better. So they said this is not bread. So that's why they said there is no bread, there is no water. May God have mercy on mankind. Have you at any point despise the little support God is giving you or God has been giving you? Have you at any point despised that little support you have been getting from God? Though you were expecting something big, but then God started by giving you little. Do you thank him for that little? Do you thank him for the little support you have been getting from God? Do you thank God for the little support you have been getting from him? Are you grateful? Because it was obvious they were not grateful even for the manna that was falling from the sky, which there's no science or technology to explain that. So they weren't even grateful for the little, for that manna, which appeared little in their eyes. But it took God something to relieve the manna, and they so much despised that blessing from God because it is not what they wanted. So they were looking for some very delicious meal. So they so much condemned the manna that was falling from the sky. And they said, this is not bread. And then these same people were saying, there is no water. Now, what what have they been bringing to that point where they said there is no water? It's obvious they have been drinking something. And what they have been drinking up to that point was all, you know, was provided by God. So why can't they trust the same God who had been providing water to continue to provide? Yeah. So let us be grateful, even for the little that, though I don't see any provision from God as little. Yeah, in fact, if I receive $1, I thank God for it. And the same way I would thank God for $1 is the same way I would thank God for $1 billion. Yeah, because I know that it is the same God, it is the same favor, it is the same mercy, it is the same love that are providing those things. So I don't limit God. I'm talking about myself. I don't limit God by whatever he does. Or maybe he does something and then I feel like, oh, this one is small. And then I feel like, why can't God do better than this? Even that one that looks small, I don't see it as small. You know why? Because God is not a fool. And God is not stupid. God knows he has the power. He knows that he has the power to give you, let's say for instance, to give you $100,000. But then he decided to give you just $10. I don't know if you're getting something from what I'm saying. So that means God did that intentionally. God knows what he's doing. So it will cost him nothing. I mean nothing. To give you much at once. It will cost him, I mean, nothing, because he has so much power to do anything. Yeah, but then, if he does give you small, does that not mean that he is teaching you something and that he is testing you? Yeah. And then, if he also gives you much, when he could give you small, does that not also mean that he's testing you? He's teaching you something. So God doesn't make mistakes. Whatever he does, he has a purpose for doing it. Yeah. So God was testing them. He was testing all of them in the wilderness, and they were feeling the test. He was checking if they really love him. Yeah, he was checking for faith in their lives, checking for patience. He was checking for perseverance, endurance. Yeah, he was checking for all those things in their hand. As I was saying, God was checking for faith, checking for patience, checking for endurance in their heart, and they kept on failing his test. He was testing them, and they kept on failing. Yeah, because the God who provided little also has the power to provide much. In fact, this the same way he could provide more is the same way, or how should I say? Let me say, just the way it cost him nothing to provide little. In the same way, it cost him nothing to provide much. Yeah, or the same miracle he did that provided little is the same miracle he would do also to provide much. Yeah, so I was giving myself as an example that if God gives me $1, I would thank him a lot. Yeah. And if he gives me, let's say for instance, he gives me $1 billion, I will also thank him a lot. In fact, the way I thanked him for $1 is the same way I would thank him for $1 billion. Yeah, to show that it's not about the figures. Yeah. To show that it is not about the figures. It is about his love. It is about him. Yeah. So whenever I show my gratitude to him, I'm not showing it based on what or based on the amount He provided. Yeah, I'm doing it based on the fact that he cares for me so much that that he provided this, provided that. I don't know if I get my point. Yeah, because some people, when God gives more, when God provides little, or he gives them small, they'll give him small thanksgiving, small praise. But then when God gives them huge blessing, then they will not give God huge praise, huge thanksgiving. That is wrong. Yeah, if you are living like that, it shows that you have been captured by money or by material things. Yeah, so what we should celebrate and appreciate is the fact that God cares so much for us and he provides for us. Yeah, so let us forget about whether it is little or it is much. Let us celebrate the fact that he provides. That is all. Yeah, it is greed when he provides little and then you feel like, oh, he has not done much. Why can't he provide more than this? Yeah, that is greed. I just get to my point. Yeah, so what I thank God for is not about the amount. It's about the fact that he remembers me and he provides. Yeah, that is what I thank him for. I pray you will learn in Jesus' name. Yeah, our time is fast spent, so maybe I should just give you these verses. You can meditate more on them later on your own. Let us look at 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Yeah, so don't murmur. That is God telling you the same thing in the New Testament. And also let us look at Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. Jude 1, verse 15 to 16. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Hard speeches, that is also similar to complaining, murmuring, and the likes. Then verse 16, these are murmurers, you can see, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Yeah, I pray that you will obey the scriptures. Yeah, these are God's words to you today and forever. Will you obey his word? Will you follow this standard? May the Lord help you. As you random, always remember that God is testing you. Always remember that. You know, I don't know why Christians don't know that they are being tested. Yeah, I don't know why Christians forget that they are being tested by God, and that if they don't pass the test, they will not be promoted by God, and they will not receive blessings and elevation from God. They may receive certain blessings, but they will never be able to receive certain blessings too. Yeah. So always know that God is testing you, and that you must pass his test to win his trust. Yeah, just the way you are trusting him, he also wants to be able to trust you. He wants to be able to trust you. Yeah. And if you don't pass his test, there's no way we'll be able to trust you. And if he cannot trust you, there's a limit to which he can use you. And there's a limit to which he can bless you. Yeah. So when God is, you know, when God tests you with scarcity, with lack, or with want, negative situation or the other, Don't misbehave. Don't fail the test. I pray that you will be wise. Yeah, I always tell people that the same thing that you demonstrated or that you exercised to get a small blessing from God is the same faith that will also bring a big blessing from God. So if God gives you a small blessing, it means he are, according to his judgment, he felt that you are not yet ready for big blessing. Yeah, so show him that you are ready by passing the test. So when he gives you the small blessing, be very grateful and sing praises to him. Sing thanksgiving songs to him. Yeah, and continue to do that. Yeah, so when he sees that your heart is really after him and not after the physical blessing, then he will start to qualify you for the things, for the greater things he wants to do for you. I pray that you will be wise in Jesus' name. Yeah, sometimes God tests us with giving. Yeah, and then he will put it in our mind to give. And he'll be watching to see if we will obey. Yeah, because he's saying to himself that, well, I'm the one that gives you what you are spending. So now I want you to give me from what I have given you. Give me this amount. And then you are thinking, I don't think I can do that. How will I cope after giving that amount? How will I survive? And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And you don't know God is testing you. Yeah, you don't know he was testing you. I pray that you will be wise in Jesus' name. We're going to round off now. If you have questions, you can post it on our Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for everything you have exposed to us from your word concerning avoiding murmuring and ingratitude. Thank you for showing us how we should be grateful in whatever situation we find ourselves. Thank you for teaching us how we should honor you and fear you, irrespective of whatever we go through. Thank you, Father, for teaching us that there are dangers in despising you, in despising your law, your word, and your grace. Thank you for teaching us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I am asking that you help everyone here to do all that you have taught us tonight. Help us to be obedient to every detail of your word in Jesus' name. And I pray for you that as you make up your mind to obey God's word, with the whole of your heart and with the whole of your life here on earth. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord help you. And may the Lord prosper you and promote you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.